Well, this class has been really encouraging to me. We've been studying the 1st and 2nd Corinthians letters that Paul wrote to the Corinth church. And the title of the class, once again, is Studying Positive Relationships in the 1st Century and the 21st Century. And we've gone through a lot of different topics through this class, and it's been really encouraging to me and getting your insight as well as how positive relationships aren't always on cloud nine every day. Sometimes we have to endure some difficult situations similar to Paul and the way he had to handle the Corinth church. Sometimes things are, you realize you've got a lot of talent, a lot of abilities, but it doesn't always mesh. Sometimes you have to work at it. Make your talents in a church or in a relationship, a marriage, a friendship. You got to kind of work at it because God makes it different, you know. And even though we have different gifts, sometimes those opposites that we have, instead of, you know, us appreciating each other's differences, sometimes we hit on each other. And then, or sometimes we, which is what we studied a couple weeks ago in 1 Corinthians 12, sometimes there's sin that we have to address, things that just aren't right, that God is not respecting. And we have sometimes have to be blunt with each other, or in a gentle way, as Paul said, so they and deal with something. That's not what the way God wants us to live, and that's what Paul had to do. In the first chapter, we talked about his introduction way back when. I've got all these issues to deal with you, Corinthian church, but however, before I start these, I thank you. I thank God for you. And I thank God for the grace in you and knowing that when there's diversity and there's difference and difficulty, there's also there's a silver lining involved too. There's a positive side too. And, last week, we talked a lot about being transformed. You know, life is a changing process. It's not a one-time deal. We become a Christian, everything works out. Oh, you know, problems fall away. It becomes the beginning of seeing hope at the end of the tunnel. That's a good thing when we become a Christian, commit ourselves to God. But we also start realizing God gives us, through His Spirit, an awareness of things in our life and around us, sin and things that aren't so good. Now, fortunately, He gives us help, the Holy Spirit, and fellow Christians that work with some of those things, but sometimes, especially looking at ourselves, yeah, it's a transforming process. It's an inner, you know, development that goes on with His help. And for 2 Corinthians chapter 3:18, we talked about that it's a continual renewing that we have to go through with our attitudes and our heart. In Romans 12, we talked about the renewing of our mind. It's a continuing process. So, anyway, there's talked about a lot of good things in this class. The importance of humility, chapter 4 or 5, talked about having two different kinds of minds. We have a natural mind, our natural way of viewing life. There's some good things in it. There's some things that we might need to be careful about that may not be godly as well. And then God gives us a spiritual mind with the Spirit, and helps us start see things in the long term. We talked about in chapter 3 or so about spiritual maturity, developing our spiritual maturity, and seeking meat and not just always be on milk. So anyway, there's a lot of good things I've got out of this class. I hope you guys did too, because these letters have got some really down-to-earth practical issues that we deal with today's life. And it's given me hope and to realize, well, just keep persevering, man. It's, you know, they dealt with the same issues 2,000 years ago as we're dealing with today. As I'm dealing with today, as you're dealing with today. So, and God hung in there with them, and God's going to hang in there with us, too, you know. So, anyway, the last class, we weren't able to study as many topics as we wish, but this last class we're wanting to talk about is, the title on the syllabus was Not Superman, Just Clark Kent. So it's a cute title to know that specifically Paul, and including ourselves, we're not going to always come out like the movie. Sometimes it's not always going to be the best ending in a relationship or in a job situation or with our kids' situation at school or what have you. Sometimes there's going to be some perseverance involved. And we have to be like Clark Kent without the invulnerable Superman skills. Sometimes we have to be a common Joe, you know, and we have to live life day in and day out with God's help and persevere. And sometimes that is the hardest part, is the daily grind. You know, in the first century, sometimes they got persecuted, they died, they were a martyr. I mean, that was painful, but it was over with. You know, it was over with. And then God took them to heaven. You know, the angels took them to heaven. Sometimes the daily grind of day in, day out, day in, day out, that sometimes can be just as wearing on us as well. And to remain faithful to the end is just as important as having that one test with the gladiators, you know. So, So anyway, so today I want to concentrate on 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and 12. And I need to use a couple of readers. Mike, do you want to read chapter 11, verses 23 to 30? Chapter 12, verses 7 to 10.
Go ahead.
Are we ready? Are they servants of Christ? I'm out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. Five times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus the one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move, and I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored, I have toiled, I have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger, thirst, and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily pressures of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak? And I do not feel weak. Who is led to sin? And I do not inwardly burn.
To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassing great revelations, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong."
Okay. Anyone? Is there a prayer? Is there a question?
Father, we come to you as people who need your words, who need your life. We're grateful for your kindness that's given us a way to live and a way to pursue that. We're grateful for the Spirit within us to help us, guide us, and show us your ways. We're grateful for Christ as our example and our beacon of light to follow. We're grateful for the church as we help each other and think about things and enact your will in this world. We love you, Father. We're excited that you have given us a life to live. We pray that we work on it, persevere. We love you, and in your Son's name we pray.
Well, today's theme is weakness. Weaknesses. It's always fun to dwell on a winner. You know, in our society, we really put up the glamorized winning and sometimes the weakness aspect and the courage it takes to perseverance when we have weakness is just as important, if more important, in our society. Unfortunately, people miss the boat because they don't understand God sometimes. They don't understand it's the weak points when God, people are made, where God can be made glorified and we can, and our character can endure and grow the most. And so that's the time when we're really down to earth. Those are the times when we're really intimate with each other. We're open with each other. When things are going great, you know, as we look back in history, that's when we tend to be isolationists. That's the times when we could tend to be a little more independent rather than interdependent. And we could look, there's been a lot of innovations that occurred in the United States over the years, and a lot of times a need has created an invention. We could go back in smallpox, vaccines, and so forth. Those never would occur unless there was an epidemic. There was a problem that occurred first, you know. And so problems cause us human beings, if we've got the right mindset, to do good. Good things occur when we recognize there's a problem or there's weaknesses. And another thing, before we analyze some of Paul's weaknesses here and some of his difficulties, that that weaknesses of ours are normal. We all go through it, you know. And Paul talked about that earlier, that there's no struggle that God puts us through that is not common to man. And so it's good, you know. And we have, everyone has aches and pains. Everyone has job stress of one kind or another. Everyone struggles at times. Most people in here are raising a child that can be rebellious, you know. Some people are luckier than others with that. But you know what I mean? We have struggles that we have in common and we can help each other with. And being open with one another is a whole lot easier in life to go through saying, putting up a front, saying, hey, I got my act together, you know, and never talk about anything but the weather or something, you know. But showing that common bond. And Paul, I think this is a, Paul was, you know, as an apostle, he wrote the majority of the New Testament, you know. He was highly esteemed. He was part of the educational class. He was a, you know, as it says in there, he was a, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. He had a lot to boast about from a worldly perspective, you know. But as a leader, he says, well, let me show you how I've struggled. And he says, I want to lead, basically, by implication, by showing you my weaknesses. And that's what's encouraging to me, to say, hey, I see a leader that's showing vulnerability. And that's exactly what Paul's doing. And that's exactly everyone what we can do. We show leadership as a parent by showing our vulnerable side, not showing that we're always have the right answers, but showing our vulnerable side. You know, I remember with my kids saying, you know, they're having a difficulty at school. You know, my daughter is Sarah. She's in the fourth grade. She's one of the shortest kids in the class. And she, it comes up periodically that when they have a musical or something, she's always on on the bottom, you know. Or there's a couple girls that can be bullies that are really big. Unfortunately, and she's small, you know, and I tell her that when I was your age, I was one of the smallest kids in the class, you know, and I think that helps her a little bit, realizing, oh, and you lived through it, you know, so it just helps, and I think the same thing, maybe we can go through some of Paul's struggles that he went through, and she says, verse 24, five times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. That's enough of a deterrence right there for me to want to throw in the towel, you know, not talk so loud about my faith. But three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren, you know? They could take a great series, TV series on his life, you know? I've been on frequent journeys, down to verse 27, I've been in labor and hardship through my sleepless nights. You ever have sleepless nights? You ever got stress? Man, Jeff, I can relate to that too. I've been in labor and hardship, in hunger and in thirst. I don't go without food or drink much. I don't know about you. That's one struggle I don't have, which I know a lot of people in the world do. Often without food, in cold and exposure. Fortunately, again, we live in a house that's got insulation and windows to block the wind. We were watching the blizzard yesterday, Little House on the Prairie. And they had, you guys ever read those Little House on the Prairie books with the winter of 1890 or something in North Dakota? Oh, man. You know, they had these little shacks to keep the wind out. It was a blizzard that lasted all the way up until late March, you know, blizzard after blizzard, and the train with supplies could not get through. It's like, oh, I thank God for being in a house with insulation and a heater. So
they had a little house in the prairie about an hour from the one in Kansas. Uh-huh. We went there a couple years ago with the girls, and it was 105 degrees the day we went. And it's just a little one square room house that could fit right up in the corner. Quite a visual lesson for the girls, like, well, what are they? This is it. What do they do here? Come on, I want to go. We're going to the S and then get that same thing.
So anyway, there's a couple of things that we can't relate to, and I'm kind of glad. So, verse 28 says, apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure upon me of concern for all the churches. So not only was he struggling with the daily eating and drinking and cold and exposure for his own personal sake, but he had concern for his fellow Christians and the churches that he had helped plant his faith. And that's true maturity, is getting beyond just our own needs and caring and concerning himself with others. It says in verse 29, who is weak without my being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern? A personalization of other people's benefit. You know, if I have to boast, I will boast of what pertains to my accomplishments. No, to my weakness. He's proud of his weakness. Yeah.
When I think of weakness, I think of like two different things. Like here, Paul seems to be looking at, you know, kind of like circumstances, and often you hear that he had bad eyes, and that was his weakness. And that, you know, there are circumstances that were, whatever they are, you know, it's things that are out of our control. On the other hand, I think of weakness as the things that are a weakness of our character, maybe, where we have total choice, but we choose, we're weak, you know. We don't choose to do what we know to do is right, you know, whatever that may be in, you know, our circumstances. Here he looks like more, you know, he's kind of focusing on the first kind. You know, I don't know, I'm correct if I'm wrong, but that seems to be of a different nature, you know, of what's the Covey say, you know, you've got your areas of concern and your areas, what is it, this concern and areas, basically you can do something about, so that you'd be concerned about, but you can't really do anything about it. Like, but other things, you know, you can do something about, you know, so, I don't know, it just seems like two different, when I think about it, I think two different types of weaknesses. And,
Paul, earlier, 1 Corinthians talked about, he's not always the best speaker around. He may not be the best speaker because he talked about there's Apollos, there's Peter, you know, and there's implications that he had some weaknesses, like you said, that could be within his control, that maybe he could modify to some extent. But, you know, like you're saying, Dan, some things we do have some control and we can control to some extent. However, me, but if you're like 40 years old, I'm not 10 anymore. Habits that have developed over, and character that we've developed, social skills that I've developed over years and years, you know, they're to some extent within my control, but my personality is still my personality. I can try to, like my situation at work, you know, with my supervisor, her personality and I just are not very compatible. And I do the best I can to cope with hers, you know. But there are just things we just aren't going to mix, you know. And I can try to control myself by being quiet, trying to be encouraging when I can, by staying out of her way, you know. But there are just certain things, you know, that she's made comments, she doesn't like my cheerfulness, or it bothers her sometimes. You know, it's hard for me to change myself so much just to reduce conflict with someone else in that situation, you know what I mean? And, is that within my control or not? I don't know. It's hard to say. But
being mean to her, really mean to her for about a week, and then maybe she like the old you back.
So anyway, that's a good point. Some things are within our control, and some aren't. And even the things in our control sometimes takes years of change and very, very gradual change if we can change. A job situation that we're out of work. I mean, we can look for a job. It takes time, though. We can do it the best we can that's within our control to contact people, to send resumes out, you know. But if the economy's bad or sometimes it just takes time, you know, just like certain character flaws we have. Sometimes things just take time to work on. And but that's a good point, Bobby. Because the second thing we talked about that you said was that maybe something more personal is related to chapter 12, or the thorn in the flesh, whatever that might be that Paul talks about. since you brought that up, Dan, let's go ahead and jump up to chapter 12, verse 7 through 10.
That's why, you know, but Paul doesn't seem to talk about it. I mean, his own, I mean, he does allude to it every now and then, but, you know, but like David, you know, he really deals with himself, you know, and in Psalms, you know, his inner turmoil about struggling with himself and his sin, that comes out in like Psalm 51, you know, make
some of that. Okay, I see your point. So he's dwelling on what's out of his control. And bragging that things aren't going my way yet. I'm persevering through it to the glory of God. However, he's not dwelling on the parts that, like maybe his poor speaking skills, or maybe how he may have been a little too blunt to one person, and he could, you know, he may not be dwelling on that part.
Sort of, but some of this was under his control. I mean, he didn't have to go out and preach, and he didn't have to do these things that people, you know, caused him.
That's
but
true.
It doesn't seem to be a personal sin of his that is a specific weakness that he's talking about here.
Okay.
He's not really being vulnerable in the sense that we talk about vulnerability, which is confessional about his own struggle so much. I agree with you, and in fact, I think there have been articles kind of written along that line, really, about Paul's. There's some hints of it, but by and large, it seems like what he's addressing here more is an idea that if you're a believer, you should be on top of the world. And that was the false teachers had that perception, that you should be able to carry yourself like a king, because if you follow Christ, then you know you're somewhat invincible. And he's saying that's not the case. That's not at all how your faith is going to play out. And that seems to be what he is addressing with this whole list of circumstances that would say, hey, I am a victor in Christ in spite of all this trouble that's going on around me. However, there isn't a lot of indicators in the text of that real personal vulnerability related to sin or weakness or defect in character, or, you know, I'm struggling with this, or I'm addicted to this, or, you know, whatever, as much as maybe we would like to see, which is kind of interesting from a leadership perspective. It's sort of the double-edged sword. How much does a,
because
does
Paul,
a leader talk to do that?
Yeah, because Paul can be a distant person because he seems so perfect.
Yeah.
Like here he's just saying, you know, just do it. You know, just get it done. And,
yeah.
You know, that's all there is to it, you know. Yeah. And, you know, yeah, you're going to have certain circumstances. But.
There are, though, hints, I think, like Ben was saying, that the 1 Corinthians where he's talking about his speech not being very skilled, then 2 Corinthians 1, where he says, I was depressed, basically. I despaired of life, even to the point of death. To me, is much more of an introspective component that might hint at some human, you know, real strong humanity. He didn't want to continue on with his ministry, basically. And then he said that it forced him to rely. Now, I think that was caused by these same outside circumstances, but it seemed to be much more in that 2 Corinthians 1 passage a personal reflection now on the harshness of life and how that's impacting me personally.
Yes, verse 8, check that out. That's good. Thanks.
And then I think the passage where he talks about in Romans, again, whether, I mean, people, theologians have debated for years whether that's, and the I means I, but Romans 7, I don't do what I want to do, and I do what I don't want to do, and you know, you see that real sort of ambivalence about being a faithful person. It does seem more personal. So there are some hints of it, though. I can certainly hear Dan's point.
Yeah. And of course, too, is what was in his control is he went around killing Christians before he was a Christian. And that was total control he had. And fortunately, God threw him down and woke him up in a very violent way to get his attention. So he quit. So he went on the good side instead of the bad side. But that was totally on his control. And he had to continue to face those people, those families that he murdered, you know.
Well, that's why I went to
the dentist,
maybe.
Yeah. Everybody. Boy, that'd be tough, though. That's forgiveness to see that your brother or your family member was killed by the preacher. And now you got to forgive him. So. Anyway, is there anything you want to open up about? Speaking of vulnerabilities in your own life, that is really hitting home right now, that you see that can be the glory, used for the glory of God. If you weren't a Christian, then it would just be a major struggle and disappointment, but because of the glory of God, it can be a positive. Do you see things in your life you want to bring up? I just start out too that I am struggling a lot with my supervisor. Worked 2 years, and she has a track record of 5 years of dealing with people. And I got a meeting this Tuesday with her supervisor and me. I typed up a nice response to some criticism she had of me, and at the very end, you could be terminated with this. And, you know, it was kind of out of place. So I typed up this response, very polite, saying, hey, wait a minute, let's add some clarification to these points that you made here. And because she said my work is good, however, you know, a little lower.
But.
Right. Yeah, you know, we're meeting our deadlines and we're meeting our customers' needs, however, you know, those type of things. So she's not even admitting that part, but. Except verbally. So anyway, I'm like, hey man, this is a struggle. And this is an emotional strain I'm carrying home that can get in the way of my family and my marriage and some other things too if I don't watch it. And this is something I have no choice but to take to God. I have no choice because it's not in my control. I can't control my supervisor or her thought process. I can try to change the way I react to her and try to, you know, but it's not in my control. And if the economy wasn't so bad right now, I would have been gone a long time ago on my own choice. But it's bad, and I'm forced. I'm in a corner. I'm forced to change. I'm forced to rely heavily on God. And as a result, a positive point is, I know there's a lot of other Christians around who struggle with their careers, who have difficulty. And as a result, because I'm vulnerable, like Paul is forced to be vulnerable, I can minister to people. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, God's going to comfort me during this time. And as a result, I can go and comfort other people. And that's so anyway, that's an area right now, a weakness of mine. That I'm not saying it's all her fault. I'm sure I've done some things that aren't so nice, so perfect myself, that I have to look honestly at. But I have to be honest that this is a struggle, and this is something God can be glorified even as a result. Anything you guys want to share about?
You know, so along those lines, I think that's one of the hardest struggles for me too, is the work situation and bringing, I guess, how I view the world and what it means to be a team player, you know, into a work environment where, I mean, there's just nothing in common about how we perceive the world. The bottom line is pretty clear. Productivity. That's the bottom line. That's great. If you're really aware of what that is and how that is measured, that definitely, within my environment, will, you know, cover a lot of other things. But it is difficult to be in an environment where people just, you know, and I truly believe, you know, we had a discussion recently where a couple of them really didn't believe the world had changed all that much there because of September 11th. Things really hadn't changed that much because no one really in my life was affected. And I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, I don't even know how to talk back to that. You know, I don't have any idea what, and my boss, you know, he looks for weaknesses. All he does is look for weaknesses, basically to exploit, you know, and I can't fathom that. It just doesn't click. And mine doesn't click with him. It's just, you know, certain things, you know, I'm not sure I particularly want to click, you know, but I don't feel, you know, it's, you got to be careful of what you're doing and what you're saying and how you're reacting and being a team member, you know, is very difficult in the sense of, you know, I try to come up with my worldview and how I face the world, and things that would be considered Christian or are Christian values, that is just useless, worthless, purely in a way, you know, like compassion for people, you know, being concerned with what others think, you know, feel, you know. That in our group is considered a weakness. It's there's this test, and they're called amiable. Maybe you've given those things. That in my environment is considered a weakness. You know, and okay, all right. You know, that's just his weakness.
Wow.
Yes, but I guess it certainly can be a weakness if you're overly concerned about it. On the other hand, it's strength. I mean, I see that. Anyway, I have a similar struggle.
How do you, Dan, and talk about you rather than me, how do you,
leadership,
how do you find meaning in that day to day? I mean, is that a struggle, you know, do you just look forward to going home and doing it with the family, or is there a way to, how do you make sense out of that?
Yeah, you know? Part of it, my boss is saying, he has a view that he thinks he's supposed to live by, and caring about people is part, not caring about him is part of that. Now, he's like everybody else. He's not truly a 100% believer of that.
Yeah. He'd
say that. He would never even fathom about himself to, but you do see it. And he is concerned about what other people think, and, you know, I mean, it's there. So, well, and mostly it's a confusion, up a little bit for things that to me are just an unthinking. You wouldn't think about that. You just do that. So it makes you a little, in a certain sense, gun-shy. But part of it, I don't really totally believe what they say about themselves, you know. Because you see other examples of it. Another part of it is probably the most professional environment I've ever been in, you know, and people who are kind of that hardcore business mentality. So part of it is like a good experience, even though I feel like I'm definitely out of my element. But I have a lot to learn there, and so that's, you know, why I would stick there. No, I don't dread it at all. I don't want to get away from it. I'm confused about how to walk with it with confidence.
Right.
You know, I don't feel particularly confident. I'm still kind of like, all right, you actually deal with all this. You know? I mean, you got your fundamentals. You know, you never give up on, and that always will get you through it. So. Walking within the environment where you can walk in both worlds, you know, that still is eluding me, where I feel comfortable to walk within that world, that business world, with very good confidence in what I believe, what I do. I'm learning, you know, it's not as bad as it used to be. I have any questions?
Most helpful.
Short on time, I wanted to stop for a moment. But anybody else want to open up about their life? A weakness that, of yours that can give glory to God?
It's so complex, Ben, it's hard to know how to get started. I don't know how to talk about it myself, but in a way. But I mean, I can relate to this in a lot of ways, and at the same time, not really very much in touch with. In another way, at least in expressing it, what, you know, what's going on with me. I was commenting to Becky the other day that I felt like I was grieving, but I'm not sure exactly what. And part of it, I think, is tied into what's going on here. It's a sense of self or who I am or my destiny or calling or whatever, and not knowing how to fulfill that in a lot of ways, in a way that seems like it fits my vision of myself. That, I don't know if that's communicating at all, but and at the same time, figuring I got to make a living, and sort of the trade-off between my calling and how to support my family, and not, you know, sort of at a midlife point and not having, in a way, managed that very well. And then you start thinking back over the last 3 years and how many good things happened from a career standpoint and how many ugly things happened at the same time, and not really knowing how to sort that out. And I don't know, there's just a lot of deep emotions there that I'm kind of dealing with right now. And going to be starting a new job and feeling the same, everything from fear and anxiety about what that's going to entail to, is this really what I want to be doing? Probably not, but at the same time, you know, you don't always do things that you want to do, and how does God make all that meaningful, and how do I see what He wants and all that? So, I don't know if that's exactly related to these issues, but certainly a lot of the world's pushing and shoving that's there, and trying to glorify God. I think you started the class by saying maybe it's hardest in the day-to-day. And at some points, you know, you really do feel like, gosh, I guess I've had enough of that, you know, of the day-to-day. that sounds rather fatalistic, but you know, that's, you know, you think, you know, it might not have been all that bad. Jesus only had to deal with it for 33 years. You know. So, it's just, how do you make it go of it? You know, there's a book by Eugene Peterson, I think it was called A Long Obedience in the Same Direction or something like that. And I'm thinking, that is really, really a very profound thought. I've not really read the book, but wow, that, how do you keep it going in those up on the fact that any good can happen, and all those things. So.
Do you find on the one side of you though that you, I would expect this of you, you do know, you know what's absolute, what's right, and it's kind of all that long range stuff. You feel real good about that.
But how do you do it in the day to day and in the present, I guess?
But that does apply here. I think of the passage in what we can't see clearly now.
Right.
And sometimes, boy, that is just it. We can't see it. We can't feel it. We just, it's more of a thought than a feeling. You just know. Right. The song, where else would you go? What else would you do?
Right,
exactly.
To whom would it go?
Yeah, where else would it be?
I'm glad everybody's in Wednesday night groups here. You guys go to the...
Yeah.
We have small groups in the middle of the week where we can continue on our conversations, our discussions, our deeds to open up like this. So that's the good thing. It's not just limited to these 45 minutes on Sunday morning, which life keeps going on, and we need to... And those Wednesday night groups are an extremely important part of us being a body and a family together and helping us grow through these apparent struggles at the time and seeing the hope at the end, So, I just wanted to open up too. I know that was our second bell, but what do you guys think in general of a Sunday morning class? What this offered versus maybe what we could improve on or our strengths, in general? I know there's different kinds of approaches. Alan and I talked about this class. At the very beginning, we thought Wednesday night groups have tons of discussion. Wednesday night groups, a lecture is all lecture. Now, a Sunday morning class has to be somewhere in between there. How do you feel? What do you think about them?